Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Traditionally, scientists have defined the prefrontal cortex as the part of the brain associated with higher order cognition. If you had one, you were capable, which limited this function to certain apes and the human species. And if you were a member of one of those species that didn't possess such a structure, then you were incapable of doing things like differentiating between objects based on relationships. In other words, such an animal could not, for example, recognize that something was the same or different from something else. Or so some human thinking went. But that was only until researchers at the University of Toulouse, France, Aurore Avergis-Weber and Martin Giroffre decided to test bees. Their experiment was relatively simple. First, they trained bees to enter a Y-shaped maze and travel down one of the arms of the Y to receive a reward. At the entrance to the maze, all the bees were shown an image, such as a circle with black and white vertical stripes. At each fork, the bees encountered a second image that either matched the one at the entrance to the maze or that looked different. So, for example, one arm of the Y would have an image with vertical stripes that matched the one at the entrance, whereas the other arm of the Y would have one with horizontal stripes, which was the opposite. Some of the bees that went down the path with a matching symbol were rewarded, but others were rewarded for taking the path whose image didn't match. Now things got interesting. Once the bees learned whether seeing the same or a different image marked the path that would yield the reward, the scientists replaced the images with pieces of different colored cloth. Instead of having the same or a different image at the fork, one path was marked with the same colored cloth as the entrance, and the other was marked with a piece of different colored cloth. Even so, the bees continued to make the correct choice. This proved that the bees were capable of understanding the concept of same or different. Not only that, this understanding carried over to a different kind of stimulus. Then the researchers went on to demonstrate that bees can also master concepts of right versus left, and above versus below. Their research also proved that an animal didn't need a prefrontal cortex for the kind of cognition that some believed only apes and humans were capable of. Additionally, that bees possess this ability tells us that this kind of cognition, which was once considered only within the capacity of the creme de la species creme, actually predates the evolution of the mammalian brain. Talk about a downer for those who like to think that we had the edge on this intelligence bit. The authors, reasonably, I think, hypothesize that the higher social nature of some species, combined with the need to navigate to collect food, would naturally give rise to the development of such concept learning. More importantly, it points out the fallacy of assuming that animals whose nervous systems differ from our own are incapable of concept learning and the abstract thinking that goes with it. So once again, the take-home message is that different doesn't equal lesser or wrong. Anyone who thinks that attributing more complex thought processes to animals is merely silly anthropomorphism is only fooling him or herself. I think the bees and certainly dogs and a lot of primates who maybe aren't so high up on the primate scale would agree that's not a very smart thing to do.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.